So it is Epiphany, which means that we are talking about the Magi. And this story of the Magi has always been very close to my heart, because when I was a child, I was always cast as a wise man. Now, I like to think it was because I had that look that speaks of wisdom, or a certain amount of gravitas, but I think probably it was because wise men look less silly in glasses than shepherds do. And maybe it was because I was always called a wise guy when I was a kid. But even so, the story has always been something that I've kind of always gravitated toward, because I always felt very close to it, because I was always cast that way. And over the years, I have discovered that much of the story of the Magi, or the story of the wise men, is full of myths. And so we're going to be learning a lot of lessons today from the story, but I also am going to debunk some of these myths of the wise men. And the first myth I would like to debunk is the name the wise men, because they were neither wise nor men necessarily. Often we'll say that they are wise men, but they weren't philosophers. They weren't great thinkers. They were astrologers. They were kind of star observers. And so, though they were educated, they were maybe wise is not the best verb for them. And though every picture of the wise men, we always picture three dudes of varying skin tones, that's not necessarily the case. In the scriptures, it doesn't specify that they were all male. And so there could have been in this party some wise women as well. And for those of you, they probably would say, well, the women were probably wiser than the men even in that group. So I don't like this term wise men. I prefer to call it the Magi, which is a little bit more of an accurate description. It sort of describes what they were. They were Magi, which is where we get the root magician. These were people who sort of studied the elements, studied the world around them, and tried to manipulate them as they could. But mostly they were just trying to understand. And so as we start this story, we see the Magi on their journey. Now, very rarely do you see most of pictures of the Magi on their journey. Most of the pictures you see of the Magi are destination pictures, right? They're already at the feet of Jesus. They're offering their gifts. And so you really don't see them on their journey. But honestly, that was most of the story, right? This was a huge undertaking. So now put yourself in their position. Imagine that you are a Magi. You see this great star. You know what it means. You see a star in the east, and you see this means that a great king is going to be born for the kingdom of Judah, for the kingdom of the Jews. And so you think, well, we got to get to Jerusalem. Now, it's not like it is today where travel is so easy, right? You just hop on a plane, go right to Jerusalem. If you travel during the holiday season, you might realize I'm being a little bit facetious. Travel is not very easy, particularly this time of year. But it was a lot easier than it was for the Magi. They had to bring everything they needed for this months-long journey, everything they could carry with them on their backs or on their camels or caravan. And they had to traverse all manner of terrain, weather. So if they had mountains or desert or rain or anything that they could encounter, all of this was going to be a part of their journey. And they didn't have four-wheel drive. They didn't have the great tires that we have now that move all of the weather away from you. And so this journey was likely pretty treacherous, which is why all of the pictures of the journey are taken so far away. Right? Because you don't want to see them up close. Because then you get to see the angry faces and they're just this world weary kind of play, visages. And it might remind you of being stuck in an airport. So this is the kind of That's the kind of face you might see if you were to look close up at one of these magi on their journey. And so, like them, we are also on a journey of life. And our journey also can be sometimes dark, sometimes treacherous, confusing. And from a distance, we might seem fine on this journey of life, but maybe if someone takes a really close-up look at us, they might see that we are as weary as these people stuck into the airport. But one of the lessons that we can learn from the Magi is that though our journey is hard, we don't have to go it alone. And this is where I want to debunk one of the other myths about the Magi, is that there were three of them. How many of you believe there were three wise men? How many have ever heard, oh, the three wise men, yes, of course. Why were there three wise men? Well, because each of them brought one gift, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Everybody only brought one gift, so there could only have been three of them. But this is likely not the case. It is very likely that there was a whole group of magi, and that the gifts that they offered collectively were the gold, frankincense, and myrrh because they had very symbolic properties. But it was probably, there was a whole caravan of magi coming out to see and pay homage to this great king, which is the lesson for us. We don't have to go it alone. We don't have to go it alone. We have companions to travel our life travels with along the way. And so I want you to think about, who are your traveling companions? Who are the people that will stick by you no matter what? Thick or thin, no matter what weather you encounter, what kind of terrain you might have to travel, what challenges beset you, who are your traveling companions? Could be a spouse that you've committed to. Could be a sibling or a son or a daughter, somebody who's close to you, is kin. It could be a friend who you've known, who has been somebody who's weather-tested, who's been there for you when things have been hard. Or it could be, and I hope it is, this church family, that we go together on this journey. And there's more than three of us. There's many of us. And it's likely that they traveled in such a way because the more that they had, more people that they had, the more that they could share among them. The more that they could ease each other's burdens, the more that they could share what they had and that they could lift each other up when things got hard. So that's our first lesson from the Magi, is do not go it alone. And so this Magi, as they were on this journey, they went to Jerusalem. Now, we don't often see the Magi in Jerusalem. We often see them where? In Bethlehem, right? Because they followed the star to Bethlehem. Well, this is where things get a little bit tricky. They didn't follow the star to Bethlehem initially. Because remember what they said to Herod, we saw a star in the east. They also came from the east. So if they were following the star, they would have went the wrong way. They saw the star in the east, and they knew that based on where the star was, that a king was to be born to the Jewish people, a king of Judah. But they didn't know where. They just knew it was happening now. So where do you go when you want to find out about all things Jewish? You go to Jerusalem. The center of the Jewish life, the center of the religious, the social, the economic life of the Jewish people at that time. So they go to Jerusalem, they talk to the leader of the Jewish people, Herod, and they say, hey, we saw the star, we know the king is being born right now, but we don't know where he's going to be born. And Herod said, well, let me get my people on it. Now Herod had his own motivations. As we know, he was very afeared that he would lose his power to this new king. And so he said to all of his all of the priests and the scribes, figure it out. Read the scriptures. Find out where this child is to be born. And so they dug through the scriptures and they found Bethlehem. And so they told the Magi, the baby's going to be born in Bethlehem. Now what's interesting about this story and the lesson that comes from it is that we can get help in unexpected places. In fact, often we will need to seek help from a stranger, from someone who we seemingly have nothing in common with, or maybe not someone who we don't even like very much. But help can come from unexpected places. Herod needed to know when this child was going to be born because they already knew where, but they didn't know when. The Magi knew when the child was going to be born, but they didn't know where. And when they have this sort of interfaith and intercultural dialogue with one another, they come to the solution that this baby is going to be born in Bethlehem. So keep that in mind on your journey, that your help might come from unexpected places, even from a stranger. All right, let's get back to the Magi. So they leave Herod's palace, and this is where this sort of miracle happens, where the star moves from its place in the eastern sky and guides these Magi forward and comes to rest where Jesus is. And so at this point, the Magi, they kind of seem like the wanderers in the desert, right? You remember the Israelite people who wandered in the desert for 40 years and didn't really know what they were looking for or where they were going. But the difference is that the Magi had the star. The star was there to guide them. And this star, this guide, it meant a great deal to them. Even though they might have had a different religious and cultural upbringing, they still were motivated by this great star. It was initially what prompted them to leave their country. It began their journey, and then it became a literal guide, guiding them to where Jesus was. It was a spark of hope, a spark of something new, something to leave the old behind and begin fresh. And they wanted to pay this king homage. And so they followed this star all the way to where it lay, right above the stable where Jesus was born. Except it didn't. That is this confluence of these two different stories. So in Luke, we have all of the manger stuff. The manger, the shepherds, the angels, all of that thing, all of those are in Luke. Because if you remember, Luke is trying to show how Jesus came from humble beginnings. Because Luke's whole thing was, out of very humble beginnings comes something really great. That's why Luke focuses on Mary, a humble servant of God who becomes renowned throughout generations. This idea of reversal, of bringing up the lowly, bringing down the powerful, was central to Luke's teaching. But Matthew is where we get the story of the Magi. Matthew, not as concerned with this kind of reversal. What Matthew is concerned about is really showing how God and Jesus was not only divine, but was also in this line to be the Messiah, to be a king, to be a ruler of the people, somebody to be followed. And so from the very beginning, Matthew sets up all of these kinds of images to show how exalted this person of Jesus is to be. And it starts off right at the beginning, giving the lineage of Joseph being in that lineage of David and the kings there. And also, the story of the Magi seeks to confirm that idea, that Jesus is a king. So they bring him things that are befitting a king. The gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh are expensive treasures that one would present to a king. And so they did not come to rest on the stable, but rather they came to a house. Far, far more fitting of a royal position than a stable is. It says that the star came and rested over the house where Jesus was, and that is where the Magi entered. And you can find a few pictures, some paintings and things, of the Magi visiting Jesus and Mary at bedside in a house, although they're kind of rare. But it is very unlikely, for many reasons, that that the Magi ever visited Jesus at the stable in the manger. But we can't have two different nativity scenes at Christmas time, so we kind of squish them all together. But nevertheless, that still doesn't change the fact that the Magi followed this star. And that is the lesson today, is that each of us has a star to follow. So the question I have for you is, what is your star? The Magi, they found their king that they were looking for because they had a guide, a God-given celestial body in the sky. And though we might not have that clear of an indication, we all have a star of some sort, something that is going to guide us this year. I always love looking at this story at the beginning of the new year because it really gives us a sense of what we are going to follow as the year unfolds. What is it that is going to be our guide? What is it that is going to go in front of us to lead us forward this year? Otherwise, if we don't have a guide, we're just kind of wandering aimlessly or spinning around in our tracks, or even worse, not moving at all. So what is going to be your star this year? What is leading you this year? And if we think about it in the terms of what it meant for the Magi, the star is something that is profoundly transformative. The star is something that indicates something new is happening. Very rarely will you follow a star, as I'm speaking of it metaphorically, and it just says, just continue on with what you're doing, everything's fine. The star leads us into something new, something hopeful, something transformative, a path that God is bringing you on this year. Now, it doesn't have to be something that changes your whole life, but it is something that provides change. I'll give you a few examples. Perhaps you've been in a relationship that has become broken and it is causing you great angst. Perhaps your star this year is seeking to mend that broken relationship. Perhaps something is troubling you, a broken promise, a resolution that you meant to keep at one point but has fallen by the wayside. And you know that if you can just rectify that one promise, that one broken place, that it will mean the world to you and to those around you. Let forgiveness be your star. Maybe you are struggling with a kind of addiction, or depression, or anxiety, or something else that is troubling your heart. Let your star be a road to recovery. Or perhaps maybe you have some kind of social commitment, something that is important to you, seeking racial equity or environmental justice. And that social cause can be your star this year, moving forward, making progress and seeking that destination. Whatever this is, it is a journey of transformation. I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution. New Year's resolutions are easily broken, and when they are, nothing really happens. I'm talking about something that is more transformative, something that is more urgent, something that God is calling you to do today. That is your star. Now, but remember, just like the Magi taught us, the journey may not be easy. In reality, it will not be. But if we forge ahead, we can remember that we are not alone. We have companions on our journey. We can remember that help will come from sometimes unexpected places, and we need to be open to finding that help. And we can remember that above all things, God goes with us and guides us on this journey, just like God guided those Magi so many years ago. And God's people said, Amen.